3:3 that says this in the Amplified, do two walk together except they make an appointment and have agreed? Today I want to talk to you, and next Sunday morning as well, I want to talk to you about the incredible power that is available to us through agreement, all kinds of agreement. Agreement in relationships, agreement in prayer, agreement in church life, agreement in natural things, agreement in spiritual things, all kinds of agreement that go on in our lives. Positive agreement and negative agreement. They both have impact. They both bring change. They cause change in the spirit realm, which is then manifest in the natural realm. A couple of weeks ago, I was walking up through Crown Street. I was headed towards the hospital, and I heard a siren in the distance. And, you know, you never know if it's a fire engine, an ambulance, or a police car. But there was a siren in the distance, and I noticed, you know, the drivers, most of them have got their music too loud, you know, so it takes a while till they can, oh, I think that's a, is that a siren, or is that a kid blowing a whistle? Or, I don't know, you can see people are looking at each other. But then it hits them as the siren is coming closer and the drama increases, it hits the drivers, what am I going to do? And if they can, they pull to the side of the road, or if they can't, they just stay where they are. The lights may turn green, but they don't go. They just stay where they are. And as the vehicle, in this case it was an ambulance, as the vehicle gets closer, it can pretty much do what it likes. It can go up over the median strip. It can travel on the wrong side of the road. It can do whatever it likes, because as a society and as a culture, we have agreed to interrupt the busyness or the routine of our day if a life needs to be saved. We have said as a culture, we agree that when we hear the siren, we will all stop because we want to see a life saved. Or we want to see, if it's a police car, we want to see a criminal apprehended or a thief apprehended. If it's a fire engine, we've all agreed we want the fire stopped. So we're prepared to stop for a moment, for a little season. We've agreed as a society that we will all stop so this vehicle can get through. And for me, standing in Crown Street watching this whole scenario was amazing. The impact of that siren, the impact of that agreement that we've made as a culture, cars pulling to the side, this street that was very busy, all sorts of stuff going on, suddenly came to a standstill because of agreement. You're here today because of agreement. As a society, we've chosen to call today Sunday. Creation doesn't think today is any different to any other day. But as a group of people, we've chosen to call today Sunday, and the impact of that spreads throughout our whole city in amazing ways. You know, all the official type legal businesses, they don't open today because we've called it Sunday. You're here today because we've called it Sunday. Everybody has arranged their day because it's Sunday. We've called it that. People get together and they call something something, and the ripple effect is amazing. You all got up this morning. You didn't go to work because we've called it Sunday. We've agreed today's Sunday. You know, you can go down in Dapto and there'll be certain places shut because it's Sunday. It's actually no different to any other day, except we've called it something different. Well, these kind of impacts, this ripple effect that comes from people agreeing, also happens in the spirit realm. When the people of God get together and agree to call something a certain thing, it has impact. You get together and you agree to call someone healed, or you get together and you agree for a situation to change, things immediately start changing in the spirit realm. Where we often get thrown is that we don't see it in the natural straight away. So we think, oh, well, that didn't do any good. But it's the same as when we first hear the siren. things don't change straight away. But then we see, you know, cars pulling to the side. The impact, the ripple effect is amazing. And it all starts with agreement. People agreeing, yes. Like, I love it with the intercessors. They've agreed, we're going to interrupt the busyness of our week to go and pray together and agree because, A, we want lives saved, and B, we want the thief apprehended, and C, we want his fires put out. They're kind of like an ambulance, a police car, and a fire engine all rolled into one, that prayer meeting. You know, but it's just really the people of God agreeing that we want to see things change. And as soon as they come into agreement, things do change in the spirit realm. They don't always manifest in the natural immediately. And that's where, you know, as I said, Christians lose it. Let's have a look at a scripture. In Matthew 12 and 25. Matthew 12 and 25. Says, you know, Jesus knows their thoughts. You know, the Pharisees were doing their usual annoying things. And he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined. Yeah, that's a strong word, ruined. Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. So if you were the enemy, what would you try to do? Especially with the people of God. It says every kingdom, every household, every group of people, if they are divided against themselves, they will be ruined and they cannot stand. And that is why the enemy fights so hard to bring strife into every area of your life. In the life of the church, in your family life, in your marriages, between parent and child. But he also tries to bring strife to you within yourself, especially within your heart, being double-minded. And I'm going to get onto that. So today I want us to mainly think about ourselves and our agreements with God and our agreements with wrong things and that kind of thing. Next week I want to talk about agreement within the body of Christ and as a corporate group of people. Both matter. Both are important. But, you know, whether it's relationships, whether it's in prayer, whether it's in church life, the enemy is always wanting to bring in strife and disagreement. Because the Bible says where there's disagreement, there's confusion and every evil thing. And Jesus said, if there's disunity or disagreement, there is ruin and you cannot stand. Well, the opposite must be true, that if there's agreement and unity, You stand and you cannot fall. You will stand. And you will have peace instead of confusion. So wherever we experience confusion, it means there is a lack of agreement, either with people or with God. So let's have a look at another scripture in Matthew 18 and 18 and 19. And Jesus is speaking again and he says, I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. That's pretty strong. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. So the place of agreement is the place of power. When two believers come together in agreement, it releases the power of heaven into the situation. You can basically say harmony between believers equals power. And we see that, you know, when the believers were with one accord in the upper room, it released the Holy Spirit to come, that place of one accord. The Greek in that verse is, I know you're worried about that, is symphonio. The Greek in that is symphonio, and it means to be harmonious and in accord. To be harmonious and in accord. So when you're coming into agreement and you're harmonious and in accord in prayer, alone as a believer or with other believers, you are basically releasing the power of heaven into a situation. And we know, like, by just naturally, if you harness two horses together, it's a fact that they can pull three times the weight that they could pull by themselves. So not twice as much, three times. So that's why when believers get together in prayer and they come into agreement for things, there is so much more power released. It's good to pray alone, of course, in your own private prayer times. It's good to pray with believers. It's good to come together and get in a corporate anointing. See, in a situation like this, and even when we sang over Sue's situation, Sue and Dave, a lot of power is released. And probably while you're doing that, the enemy is saying to you, well, that's not going to do anything. I don't know why you're doing this. Don't even join in because, you know, that's not going to make any difference. Well, he's saying that because he knows how much power is released when believers come together. If you hold your hands up and you say, Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong. I'm singing this over Sue. I'm telling you, all of us together releases a lot of power. We're like a whole bunch of horses harnessed together, ready to pull anything in sight. So the same is true when you choose to agree with the Word of God, enormous power is released into your situations. And you will find the enemy is constantly tempting you to disagree with the Word of God. Now, I want us to have a look at a situation in Genesis. Genesis chapter 15. Genesis 15 and 1 to 6. And God is talking to Abraham here, and all sorts of things had gone on. And it says, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. And he said, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Now, this was a big deal for Abram at that stage. I hope I'm together still. This was a big deal. Like in those days, you know, it was a big deal to have an heir. Probably still is these days to some degree, but not like it was back then. And Abram had been honoring God and, you know, he'd had the Ishmael thing happening and all that kind of thing, but he still had no heir. And that was a big deal to him, and that was, you know, that's the first thing that came out of his mouth when God said, I'm going to do lots of good things for you. The first thing that came out of his mouth was, but I've got no heir. So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever pops out of your mouth that quickly, you know, that's something the enemy's working on in your life to convince you God doesn't care about you. You know, if we say, oh, you know, isn't God wonderful and he just wants to bless you, and you'd be thinking, yeah, but he hasn't done this. Well, you know, that's something in your heart the enemy's working on to make you feel like God's not with you, he's not on your side. So Abraham pops out with that, and then God says to him, then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. And then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. So, I mean, that's quite a promise. And the Bible says, Abram believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. Now, when it says Abraham believed the Lord, it basically means he came into agreement with what God was saying. He chose to agree with God rather than to keep agreeing with the negative circumstances. And the Bible says when he did that, it was credited to him as righteousness. In other words, the force of righteousness was released in his life. Now, that can sound like, you know, spiritual and Old Testament words, you know, righteousness. But it really just means God's rightness. It's like a river of God's rightness, of God's supernatural ability was released in his life the moment he agreed with God's word, the moment he came into agreement with God. The force of righteousness was released in his life. And things began to change. Now, he didn't see the evidence of Isaac immediately. But from that moment on, things began to change in the spirit realm. And something that was so impossible came to pass because the force of righteousness was released in Abraham's life. Now, at any given time, the enemy is tempting you to believe the negative circumstances and to come into agreement. The enemy was tempting Abram, just come into agreement. You're not going to have a son. It's not going to work out. Eliezer will be your heir. Just agree with that. Because if Abraham agrees with that, that's what would have happened. But he chose to agree with the word of God. It looked impossible. It didn't happen straight away. But that's what came to pass, what the word of God had said to him. That's what came to pass simply because of a change of agreement. And you see, when you choose to come into agreement with the word of God, even though it goes counter to everything that's going on in your life and the possibility of the word of God coming to pass in your life, even though it goes counter to that, you choose to come into agreement with that, immediately things start to change in the spirit realm. And it may not look like it to you. There may seem to be no change to you, or the only change that comes to pass is things begin to look even more impossible. So it's a little bit like when I was talking about, you know, the ambulance or the fire engine or the police car. You know, the siren started. They didn't all immediately go whoop to the side of the road or get out of the way. It was a gradual thing. You know, one car's like, well, that's a siren, I'll get over. And the others are like, well, they got over, it must be a siren, I better get over, you know. And the others sort of nudged over to this way and just stayed there even though the light turned green. Things began to change. And by the time that vehicle came through, things were in place. And then that vehicle had the authority to supersede the laws that were in place to do amazing things that aren't normally allowed. It went over the median strip, drove up the wrong side of the road, drove back over the median strip, drove through a red light, did whatever it wanted to do to get to where it needed to go to accomplish what it needed to do. Now, in the spirit realm, the force of righteousness, when you come into agreement with the word of God, the force of righteousness does the same thing. Circumstances that are functioning according to normal laws. See, when the siren first started, everything's functioning according to normal laws. People are staying on the right side of the road. They're going when the light is green. They're stopping when it's red. They're waiting to turn right. They're staying on the right side of the median street. All that kind of thing. The siren starts and things begin to change. And then this vehicle comes through and does whatever it needs to do. And in the spirit realm, the force of righteousness begins to make things change. But then there is an authority in your life that supersedes the natural. And it overtakes natural things so that you get favor with government officials. You get favor with different things going on. you get jobs that you're not supposed to get because you haven't got the qualifications. All sorts of things can begin to change that wouldn't normally change naturally, because you are in agreement with the Word of God, and it is releasing His force of righteousness to overcome natural things. Now, I'll give you an example. Years and years and years ago, when I first came to this city, I was a school teacher, and I applied for a transfer because I didn't want to be here. I applied for a transfer to go back to Sydney. That's where I came from. And I didn't want to stay here. I wanted to go back there. So I applied for a transfer. Nothing much happened for a while. And in that time, I made a lot of friends. So I wanted to stay here. And the transfer came through. I was transferred to Rockdale. And I thought, well, you know what? I want to stay here now. Well, any of you who've had anything to do with the Department of Education knows that they don't just take kindly to, you know, a 21-year-old coming in saying, can you just change it back again? That doesn't happen. Not normally. But I felt strongly that God wanted me to stay in this city. And I got someone to pray with me. And I didn't know much of the Word of God. But I just thought, if God is for me, who can be against me? You know? So we drove up to head office in Sydney. It's, you know, all the principals in the schools and that said, don't even bother to go. They won't listen to you. And you know, we're not going to recommend it anyway because you applied for a transfer. Anyway, we got out and I went in there. I was, you know, shaking in my boots. And I sat down in front of a guy and I said, well, I've applied for a transfer to Rockdale, but I actually know another girl who would like to go to Rockdale, but she's been transferred to Winoonah East, and I'd like to go to Winoonah East, so can she go to Rockdale and can I go to Winoonah East? I mean, I know it sounds logical and easy, but it doesn't work that way officially in the Department of Education, let me tell you. It just doesn't. And he said, yeah, that seems okay to me. You just turn up at Winoonah East on the first day of school, because this was during the Christmas holidays. And I walked outside, and the people who'd gone with me said, so what happened? I said, yeah, I've been transferred to Winoonah East and the other girl's been transferred to Rockdale. And everybody was like, whoa. You know, because that doesn't normally happen in natural circumstances. But see, I was operating in the force of righteousness because I was in agreement with, if God is for me, who can be against me? And it caused the normal run of things to be superseded to make way for the force of righteousness in my life. Obviously, God wanted me to stay here. I remember reading a testimony of Phil Pringle some time ago where he was sitting in a conference, and it was when he was trying to get buildings on that land that he's on up there at Oxford Falls right now, and he'd had the land for a long time, and he'd applied to have buildings put on that land 3 times and been knocked back. So that's discouraging. And he was just sitting in a conference, and while the speaker was talking, he had that gift of discernment came on him, and in the spirit, he saw a demon. He said, I'm not given to that. I've never seen a demon since, at the time of him giving this testimony. He said, I've not seen a demon since, but a demon was there in front of him, and it was a really strong-looking demon, and it had its eyes totally fixed on him. And so that if he moved to the left, the demon was there to stop him. If he moved to the right, the demon was there to stop him. And the demon would block anything he was trying to do. And, of course, this had been his experience trying to get the approvals through council to get these buildings on the land. Not only was council against it, the residents in the area were against it as well. Just everything was blocked. And he said to the Lord, what will I do about this? And the Lord said, come into agreement with my word. And he said, what scripture will I come into agreement with? And the Lord gave him the scripture, I am causing all things, Romans 8:28, I am causing all things to work together for your good because you love me and you are called according to my purpose. And he said to the Lord, that's not a warfare scripture. That doesn't sound like a warfare scripture to me. And the Lord said to him, as soon as you come into agreement with my word, you will come into warfare. And so he said, under his breath, because he's on the front row, he's running this conference. He's not the speaker that day, but he's running this conference. Under his breath, he said to this demon, God is causing all things to work together for my good because I love him and I'm called according to his purpose. And he said, in the spirit realm, he's watching this demon. The demon sneezed. Just sneezed. Wiped its nose and went back to its position. So he said it again. And the demon sneezed again, but went back to his position and just kept his eyes. It didn't matter what Phil was trying to do, he was there to block it. And so the meeting finished, he closed the meeting, he went back to his room, he prayed again. And he noticed that every time he prayed, the demon became more disabled. Every time he spoke that word and came into agreement with that word of God, the demon became more disabled. And after a short period of time, he noticed the demon was on the ground, in chains, whimpering. It had totally lost its power. And he felt like he didn't need to pray anymore. And God said, that agreement with my word has done the job. You will have a clear way now. And so after the conference, you know, he went back and they reapplied to put buildings on the land. Well, the council thought it was a wonderful idea. Wonderful idea. Yes, let's put buildings on this land. How would you like them? All the residents that had complained changed their minds. It was a great idea to have these buildings on the land. A great idea to have a church at their back door. You know, everything changed. It came about because one person chose to stop agreeing with, this is never going to happen. Council will never change their mind. This is probably a mistake that we bought this land. These residents hate us. What? One person changed their agreement to the word of God and things were bound in the spirit that needed to be bound and answers came and a smooth road came. It's not just for Phil Pringle. That kind of power, that kind of authority is available to you as you come into agreement with what is sitting in a lot of your laps. Amen. I believe that. The opposite can be true. There is also tremendous power available, or tremendous power is released when you come into agreement with the enemy's lies. And I want us to look at a scripture which shows this kind of power that's available. In Genesis 11, and this is a situation, I'll just read 1 and 2. It says, now the whole world had one language and a common speech. And as men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. And now we're going to pick it up in verse 3. And it said, they said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. And then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that men were building. And the Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing, listen to this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. That's power. It's not power for a good thing. Amazing power. But they were wanting to build a name for themselves. They were wanting to do it themselves. It's the beginning of the Babylonian system, which is the Antichrist system. But because they were in agreement, God said nothing will be impossible for them. Even though what they were doing wasn't a godly thing. There is a huge amount of power available in agreement. And I want to tell you, friends, you know, through your childhood and different things that have gone on in your adult years, the enemy has been busy trying to plant experiences and situations in your life for you to come into agreement with. You say, what sort of things are you talking about? I'm talking about things like, maybe your parents never told you you were beautiful or that you were handsome or that you were attractive. So the enemy plants a lie that says, you're not attractive, no one will ever want you. And without realizing it, you can come into agreement with that. And let me tell you, that releases not a force of righteousness, but a force of unrighteousness in your life so that you do become a person that no one wants, that no one wants to love. Perhaps you had parents who told you you were useless, you were good for nothing, that you'd never do well in life or you'd never have a good job or no one would ever want to employ you. If you come into agreement with that, it releases the force of unrighteousness, and that is what comes to pass. And as the enemy of our souls, he is busy through our lives trying to plant these experiences for us to agree with, and that gives him that authority in our lives to bring it to pass. And you can live with that for a long time, wondering why things aren't changing. And I want to encourage you this morning. We're going to have some prayer in a moment. I want to encourage you this morning. If you know there's those kind of agreements in your life, then you can break them. You can just say, no, I don't accept that anymore. I'm going to go with this. I'm going to go with what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, as we heard this morning from the Word, I'm accepted in the Beloved. You know, He thinks I'm wonderful. He thinks I'm great. And His supernatural ability can cause me to do whatever He needs me to do. Whether my parents thought I could or whether someone else thinks I can or not, I have a force of righteousness that supersedes the natural because I agree with it. Now, one last passage, and then I want to close and just have some prayer. Let's have a look in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and starting at verse 7. Verse 5, sorry. Says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Like, that's a great statement, isn't it? And it will be given to him. So if you ask for wisdom, you get it. But he when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. So you've all seen that. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. Not anything. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. Okay, so basically that's describing a house divided against itself. You are a house. You know, the Bible says we are the house of God. We are the tent. You know, we are a walking house of God. And the enemy loves to have you divided against yourself. Oh, yes, I know God loves me. The Bible says so. But actually, I'm not very lovable. How do you know that? Well, my parents told me. Well, I had a boyfriend when I was 18 and he dumped me. So we agree with that. Well, that releases the force of unrighteousness in your life. And you become unstable in all your ways. You wonder why you don't receive anything from the Lord. We can't be in agreement with the lies of the enemy and mentally give assent to the Word of God and receive anything from God. We become unstable in all our ways. If there's areas in your life where you're feeling unstable, I encourage you this morning to get some prayer. I encourage you this morning to have some agreement with someone. It doesn't have to be with me. But some agreement with someone where you say, well, you know, I just can't get past it that I'm stupid. You think, well, no one would think that. Lots of people think that. Lots of people think that because they've been told that. They've been told it by friends. They've been told it by parents. They've been told it by school teachers in the days when you didn't get sued for it. And they believed it. So when the Bible says you have the mind of Christ, they say, oh, yeah, I know that, but I'm stupid. You must take a stand, just like Abraham did. Take a stand and say, I am going to break that agreement with that lie, and I am going to come into agreement with the Word of God. And immediately that force of unrighteousness is stopped, and the force of righteousness is released in your life. And you may not see a whole lot of difference, naturally speaking, this week, but you will start to see changes. You'll start to see that stronghold crumble in your life, and you will start to be released into the good things. Look, you can't look at your situations and think, how can this happen? It probably can't, naturally speaking. That's why we have a supernatural God. That's why we have a supernatural force of righteousness set free in our lives. It changes things that wouldn't normally change. And it's a power that's available to you today. Like, not next week, not when you feel better, not when you think you're strong enough to think about it. It will do it for you today. Today. So I'm in a moment, we're just going to stand, and I just encourage you, if you know there's agreements in your life with lies of the enemy from things in your past, find someone and get them to pray with you to break that, and then pray an agreement with the Word of God. If you can't think of a scripture, ask someone. Rick knows the Bible back to front. He knows the Bible better than me. You know, find someone. Paul and Rose, Allison and Steve, even Pastor Marianne. She knows some stuff. Get with Sue Ellen or Jillian. You know, get with normal Peter or anyone you think has got a clue about the Word of God. Ask for a scripture. Get them to pray with you. You can come forward. People will pray with you. You don't have to. You can get with a husband or a wife. You can get with a friend, you can get with someone you know you can trust and just say, look, I've been believing this lie all my life, that I'm useless, or that God doesn't have anything for me, or that I'll always be in a dead-end job, or and break that agreement and just come into agreement with the Word of God and release that power. I tell you, friends, immediately in the spirit realm, things will change. Amen? So let's stand together. And I'll just close in prayer, and then I'll invite you, if you want to come forward and have some agreement, do